All of us, are we there? 1, 2, 3, go. For many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen ones, sit down. If you are not choosing, don't sit down. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. Hallelujah. And we are looking today at a topic that I titled The Choosing of the Bride. And that is to let us further know why we are not a denomination. That is why we are not a denomination. And please, I need your attention. Because these are some of the revelations that some of us know that reflects on the kind of Christians that we are. And this is one of the so numerous revelations that God gave us in this age that distinguishes us from ordinary religious Christians. There's a difference between a religious Christian and a revelated Christian. Revelation determines how you walk with God. Religion fulfills all righteousness. All just you are doing it because you must belong somewhere. And religion will take you nowhere, but revelation will take you somewhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the way to, let's say, Abuja, our nation's capital, you don't know the way there. All you know is, amen. Amen. You want to go to Abuja anyhow. No, Abuja is a small case. You want to go to, say, Europe, a country in Europe, maybe UK, London, for instance. You want to go to England. And you desire to be there. Amen. If you don't know how to go there, if you even enter plane, and you even reach there, some people, then they turn them back. From Heathrow Airport there in London. You get there, finish. They go look you. But they clear you from the Nigerian side of the border with the documents supposedly you had. But you get to that point, you may still be turned back. So anyone that is traveling to a country that is strict with our immigration policies, you want to make your calling and election sure, so that you will not get there and they will say one document na fake. And church, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the ticket to go to heaven. But there is fake Holy Ghost. That's what I want you to note. There is fake Holy Ghost. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's get the picture very well by reading some scriptures. Matthew 21. Amen. The choosing of a bride. Who is a bride? Define bride. What's the meaning of bride? Eh? A bride. What's the meaning? Bride is an English word. I say, what's the meaning? A woman that is a spouse to be married is called bride. You become bride first before you become wife. Am I correct? Praise the Lord. It is during the period of bride, the relationship you have during bride is different from when you become wife. So, but you have to be bride before you become wife. And the choosing of that bride, who will be the candidate to be the wife eventually of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what we're looking at. Every one of us going to church today, we are claiming that we are the wife of Jesus Christ. Every church sings, I am married to Jesus, Satan leave me alone. I am married to Jesus, Satan leave me alone. My husband is coming to carry me away to everlasting home. Select the singer. Catholic the singer. Methodist the singer. Bride Assembly says they sing out. Every church, they sing out. Even commercial musicians, they sing out. And they sell out for market. Praise the Lord. But church, you may want to be his wife, but you may never be his wife. Unless you know what it will take for you to be his wife. And all I'm trying to do is to let you know what it will take to be his wife. That's all I'm trying to the exhortation this afternoon. I pray I'll be able to finish it. Because there is need for us to understand this simple thing. Now, church, we are Gentiles. And yet, we are talking about the God of Israel. I want you to know that as far as the Bible even said it somewhere, it said that Israel is his only inheritance on earth. God of creation looked at the whole human beings and said, of all the human beings on earth, as at the time he was saying it, he said, Israel was the only thing he owned on earth. The rest, Satan had taken it over. Why? How did they become his own? It was by a covenant that he had in their great-grandfather, Abraham. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let me just limit myself on that line of thought so that we understand where we are, so that we can also appreciate grace. We have to appreciate grace. Even Jesus Christ, when he came, and that Syrophoenician woman was asking him to come and heal the daughter. What did he say? The child was sick. He said, it's not proper to give the children's meat, food, to who? Dogs. The Jews do not consider any other race as human beings. Because there is one difference between them and other race. What is the difference? Circumcision. Any man that is not a Jew, you are an abominable something. And if you have to relate with them and come and be their servant, be their slave, the first thing they will do with you to be acceptable in that family is circumcision. No matter how old you are, do it. If not, you are unclean. And that's exactly the position that we are like dogs. Praise the Lord. But how come we are now enjoying the same benefits that Israel is now enjoying? Even a higher one. That is what we see in this parable, chapter 21. Parable, chapter 21, verse 33. From verse 33, are we there? Let me read it. The difference between the bride of Jesus Christ and the concubine is that we love the word. When I say open Bible, open it because you too, one day you are going to open it for somebody else to see. So open it. And when I'm explaining, sometimes you even see deeper than I'm explaining. May you get and flow into the spirit of revelation this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 33, Matthew chapter 21. Hear another parable. This is Jesus himself saying it. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and kill another, and stone another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and they cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Now Jesus Christ is asking in verse 40, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. See the answer in verse 41. What will he do? They said unto him, the owner of the vineyard, He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his fire unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. What is the purpose of that vineyard? Is to produce a harvest of fruits. Take note of that. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, verse 43, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Oh, what did he say will happen to them? The kingdom will be taken from them and will be given to another nation. And who is this vineyard? Because it is a parable. It's a parable. If you read Isaiah chapter 5, read it from verse 1 to verse 7, you will not, let's, for the purpose of emphasis, let's read it. Isaiah chapter 5. Now, verse 1. I'm reading up to verse 7. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth what? What did he bring forth? Are you reading with me? What did he bring forth? Wild grapes. Why? Can anybody eat wild grapes? Verse 3. And now, all inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the edge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. I break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Verse 7 is my emphasis. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. That's where I'm going. I read it again. For the vineyard that we are talking about, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. That is Israel for you. Salvation was meant for them. The covenant was made for them. But when it was time for them to bring forth fruit, what were they doing? Nothing to show that they know anything about God. And because of it, Jesus Christ was telling them. Jesus Christ repeated the same parable that the Spirit of God was speaking through Isaiah. Repeated it in that chapter 21 of Matthew. What will happen? He said, the kingdom therefore will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will bring fruit to him. He turned one day in Luke chapter 19. Let's read it. In Luke chapter 19, one day Jesus Christ turned. Hallelujah. In verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. And verse 44 is my emphasis. And shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Jerusalem, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. And that is what was fulfilled in Acts chapter 13. Let's read it. Hallelujah. We know that what is spoke, where we read now, in Luke chapter 19, compassing the enemy, compassing about them, and not leaving one stone unturned. Amen. We know it was fulfilled in AD 70. Jesus himself gave that prophecy in Matthew chapter 24. If you read it, where he said, when you see, I think verse 15 or so, when you see the abomination that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, he said, he who read the letter, take something like that. Now let him understand. He said, if you're on top of the roof, don't come down. If you are in the field, don't come back to the city. He said, pray that it be not in the time of winter. Then he said, woe to she that giveth suck to a child. Because what the people will go through will be such that as has never, the persecution, the tribulation that they have never experienced before since the world began. And that was to fulfill exactly what Jesus, the Spirit of God, spoke through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you read it from verse 14 down, where those curses if they refuse to obey the law. And that is one of the most difficult periods that Jews had ever had. He said, pray that that time will not be on a Sabbath day. Because on a Sabbath day, nobody will be in the field working. Everybody will be in the house. So they will just lock the gate so nobody will escape. Amen. Now listen, church. All this was because they rejected the time of their visitation. All this. And see how the gospel now came to us in Acts chapter 13. Are we there? Praise the Lord. From verse 44 to verse 48. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God when Paul was preaching up and down. Praise the Lord. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary, that's where I'm going, that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But see, you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set it to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when we now, we the Gentiles, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, believe. How many of them are here today? Ordained to eternal life. Only those ordained to eternal life believed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Paul in Romans chapter 9, let's read it also. Concerning God's sovereignty and his election. He does what he wants to do. This is the way Apostle Paul put it in from verse 24. From verse 24, let me read it up to verse 26. Amen. He said, even so, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said also in Hosea, that is in the book of Hosea, and he's quoting Hosea chapter 2 and from verse 23. I will call them my people, which we are not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Are we not the ones? Do you understand now? We are the ones. We were not his people. Now he will call us his people. And it shall come to pass, verse 26, that in the place where it said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Are they here today? How many of them are here today? Oh, do you know this mystery is still hidden before the Jews? Up to now, they still don't understand what is happening, the majority of them. Except the remnants. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion. They told you it doesn't matter. It matters.
There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian. Christians face trials. The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how the gospel came to us. And He broke it again. Amen. And explained it in Matthew chapter 22. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Matthew chapter 22. Bible study. Listen very carefully. Where we pick for our text. What gave rise to that statement in verse 14. Let's read it from verse 1. Are we there? It is the parable of the marriage feast. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden before, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. One city. Which city is that? Jerusalem. When did he burn it up? AD 70. Verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. You see how the gospel came to us? Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Both bad, like me here. Bad. Igbo smokers. Arm robbers. Cult people. Thieves. 419. People that is prison, yeah, life imprisonment, they are entitled to, so that normal human being can live their life. Very bad. He called them both good and bad. The good ones are the very moralists. There are some of you that we are virgins even as unbeliever. You will not lie, you will not steal. You are the good one, good moralists. Plus you, plus those of us who are bad though, he called all of us both both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And the guests are sitting down here now. And the guests are holding Bible in fellowship. Today is Sunday. Everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everywhere. Verse 11. But there is inspection that will come up later. And when the king came in to see the guests, He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Church, there is an inspection time. There's a condition to come for that feast. There's a dress you're supposed to put on. There's a garment you're supposed to put on. There is a wedding garment that everyone that is supposed to have. And he said unto him, verse 12, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? What is the answer? Everybody say it. And he was speechless. You know, I have read this scripture before. I say, if he was speechless, because at least in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, at that day some will face Jesus Christ and say, was it not in your name I was doing this? So they had something to prove that they were following him. But here, this group of people here, he was speechless. He could not say anything. It means he knew what he was supposed to do, but he refused to do it. So he knew he had no excuse. That person has heard the message. Some person is in this church today. That person is hearing me now. Because what will you tell him? You had it. You had it. He was speechless. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. So the emphasis now, the qualification to be part of that wedding feast is your garment. Your garment. Your garment. And the garment there is your character. It's your character. Your garment there is your character. Character. Your character. He said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This message is not for them outside. This message is for somebody sitting down here and listening to me. At that day, what will you say? We told you, sister, how a Christian sister is supposed to appear even in physical attire as described, proclaim, you know, ordered, commanded by the Holy Ghost in this age. We told you now, we told you. We told you, brother, how you are supposed to live your life in this age. You sang a song, the old rugged cross. But you don't want to follow God through that rough road. You prefer, it doesn't matter, Christianity. You come this far and you are still serving God hypocritically. Who are you deceiving? Yourself or God? Is there anything you can hide from him? One of these days, there will be nobody to preach again. It will be time for inspection. He says that person should be cast into outer darkness. That is, the person will enter tribulation period. The period that we set in after we go in the rapture, the difficulty that will come upon this earth, that person will be in that outer darkness. And they are the only ones that will weep and gnash their teeth. Why? They had opportunity to change. They had the truth. In this ministry, we have never compromised the word. We have told you the truth as you should know. No matter how we say it, you have chosen by your own choosing. Not by ignorance this time. It's by your own choosing to live the kind of life you live, yet still claim that Jesus is coming for you. See? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will go further next week. Bow down your head. Bow down. Don't clap. Don't clap for me. Bow down your head. What if I am the one this pastor is talking to now? Would somebody think like that? What if I am the one? What if I am the one? Talk to God. What if I am the one? One leg in the world, one leg in the church. You are holding Bible and you are still living a life contrary to that Bible you are holding. Who are you deceiving? Why not go the way of the world and end up in fire? At least you won't cry. You will know that, yes, I did everything bad. I am entitled to go to hellfire. Just look at yourself. The question is, what if I am the one he's talking about? There is inspection coming up. There's inspection coming up. Is your character befitting the wife of a king? That's the emphasis. The character. Do you love him? Do you fear him? Do you obey him? Just meditate on it. Just for a few minutes. Just meditate on it.